This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape begins a journey to fight for a future for apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
As you may have realized, I watch a lot of sports. That's why I like Prime Video. It has all my sports in one app, like the National Women's Soccer League, included with Prime. Plus, you can buy Premier Boxing or stream the NHL and NBA playoffs on Max with the Bleacher Report Sports add-on or add Paramount Plus for the Masters on CBS. Prime Video. It's all your favorite sports in one place. Restrictions apply. Prime membership required for add-on subscriptions. See amazon.com/AmazonPrime for details.
You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
A lot of times when you see a coach going off the sidelines at halftime, there's an understanding that the sideline reporter is going to get two questions. Sometimes it's only one. Maybe it's three. There's a discussion maybe pregame if you're going to talk to the coach. And I was wondering with Jenny Taft, she was working the sidelines with Penn State in Michigan, and Jenny joins us now. At what point did you realize that Harbaugh wasn't going to be there, and how much prep work did you have on what you were going to talk to him about?
Well, first of all, thanks for having me on. This is really special to be a part of the show, so thank you. And, you know, it was one of those situations, Dan, where you're not – I've never been in a situation like this before, where oftentimes the broadcast has a lot more information going into the game. Maybe the public doesn't know. We had no idea if Harbaugh was going to show up minutes before the game. And throughout the week, we had had a conversation with Coach Harbaugh, and he said, if for some reason I am not able to coach, it will be Sherrone Moore. So we knew that going into it, but they really did not believe that that was going to be the situation. So I felt a little bit like an investigative reporter on Saturday morning. And yeah, you're always looking at body language and talking to players and coaches. And it was just a different energy because no one knew. I interviewed Sherrone Moore during warmups when they still didn't know if Harbaugh could potentially show up. And obviously the mood continued to shift. So I know Sherrone Moore, and I've gotten to know him pretty well over the years. And he had a calm confidence to the way he was carrying himself. But then when he realized he was going to be the guy, I did feel like he tensed up, and you could just sense that it was a big opportunity for him.
Okay, let's say Harbaugh showed up. What was your question going to be prior to the game?
Oh, gosh. First of all, Harbaugh, it's been years for me convincing him to do these interviews. So as you know, he doesn't love them, but I would have chased him down and said, Coach, the last 24 hours have been insane. You've been in your hotel room. What has been going through your mind? And how are you prepared to win this game today? I think the issue is, and I've been asked this, do you ask about the allegations in that moment? And I tend to believe that you have to allow the game to play out. And perhaps after a win, I would have taken that opportunity to congratulate him on the win. Had they won with Harbaugh coaching, I assume it would have been the same outcome there. And then you possibly give him the opportunity to address a different audience, because he's spoken about it, you know, in his press conferences. But I would try to give him that moment. But as we all know with Harbaugh, and as Sherrone Moore did the same, they like to start the interview and then hand him off to a player. So I'm kind of used to that when it comes to Michigan.
What do you expect? Is Harbaugh on the sidelines this weekend?
Boy, I have a feeling yes, just based on how confident they seem to be. Obviously, we know that hearing is set for Friday, and I'm sure you saw some of his quotes yesterday from his presser saying that he's watched plenty of Judge Judy and he's prepared for his big moment. I mean, he had an all-time list of quotes yesterday that I just – to say that Harbaugh is not stressed about this, it's kind of crazy, but I don't think he really is. And he said to us over and over again, and this is what he is telling us, I did not know what was going on. And, you know, he's handled the pressure, and he said to me, I don't want the players to deal with this. Let everyone come my way. So Harbaugh knows the hard questions are coming. He hasn't decided as of yesterday if he will speak on Friday, but if he's not there, Sherrone Moore will continue. And after what we saw from Saturday and the way he was able to do both, manage that offense and lead the team, I thought it was pretty impressive.
We had Brady Quinn on yesterday, and I said, and he was talking about this too, could you set up a camera where I was more interested in watching Harbaugh watch the game than I would have been watching the game itself. But is there any chance that you could do an interview with him, or even the broadcasters could do an interview with him if he's watching from a hotel room?
Oh, I mean, you better believe I'm going to ask. I actually did ask that question, if we could send a camera to the hotel. I was shut down by Michigan, which I understand. I mean, sure. At that point, they don't even know. And I'm like, where is he watching? Oh, he's in the hotel room. I said, with whom? Like, is he watching solo and just pacing? Like, Harbaugh watching a game in his hotel room should have been just like a Steadicam video we were going to on the side. So, look, I guess we don't know until Friday takes place, but I know that Fox will do whatever we can to make sure we have some sort of Harbaugh cam, and I will do my best to get all that inside scoop. And he is going to talk to me if he's there. He can't say no to me this time.
Do you know that for sure?
Well, I mean, I'm going to make it very clear to him, because like, you have to talk. And I've given him this out in the past, but at the same time, like, Coach Harbaugh, you got to talk now. So
it's too big of a news story, and hopefully he understands that. Plus, he's playing the victim, and now he's the coach of America's team. And
yeah, that's what he said, America's team, right? And I know he doesn't like doing interviews, because I know he wants the attention to be about the players, but this is different. And I do think he understands that now. So I don't worry, when we get off this, I'm going to text Michigan's SID and make sure we're prepared for all interviews.
Well, they're probably watching, writing down all of this. We're talking to Jenny Tapp. She'll be on the sidelines, Fox Big Noon Saturday, and it'll be Michigan and Maryland. Then it'll be Ohio State and Michigan the following Saturday. Oh, my God. How physical does it get on the sidelines for you?
What do you mean?
You know, post-game, jostling, trying to get a coach, camera people, like, you know.
It's pretty intense. Look, I think back on Michigan-Ohio State a couple years ago when Michigan had finally gotten the win, Ann Arbor, snow coming down. I'm trying to find Aiden Hutchinson. I'm actually pregnant at the time, which is wild, considering some of my security guards were like, we don't want you to do the interview of the storming of the field. And I'm like, you think I'm going to miss this interview? Oh, wow. Like, there's no way. So yeah, at times it's a little intense, but that's half the reason why I love the energy of being a sideline reporter. I think you feel it in a different way when you're on the field and you're chasing down coaches. We tend to have a plan, right? Like, had Penn State won, I would have tried to find Coach Franklin to the side. Like, at some point you have to a little bit map it out, because if you don't want to miss the coach, that's the worst case in any field storming situation. But yeah, it gets physical, but at the same time, it's kind of what I love about it. And I would never turn down any of those interviews. Like, I sprint to get to that coach as fast as I can when the game ends. And yeah, Sherrone, did I anticipate the tears? No, I felt he was starting to feel it. Like, it was sinking in right before we had kind of chatted. And then once he started to get a little emotional, I soaked it up a little bit, and I felt like I didn't anticipate the swearing. He actually did text me right after, which I thought was really sweet. He said, I'm so sorry I got emotional. I'm sorry about the F-bombs, but like, I couldn't help myself. And I think that just speaks to the emotion of college football. Like, it's just, they had been through a lot, and it was a big deal for him.
Loudest stadium you've been in?
The Big House is hard to top. It really is. I know I'm just talking about Michigan, but like, you know, I was pretty impressed by Beaver Stadium. This was our second game at Penn State. And I will say that the way it's set up, it's just a really impressive fan base and crowd. And I haven't had a night game there, but we've just really enjoyed going to Happy Valley. And like, that crowd it's pretty special.
Being a journalist, can you confirm this, that Brady Quinn does a party pump before he goes on the show, on Big Noon Kickoff?
I mean, Brady does it all, right? Like, Brady is, what can't he do? He got stopped twice on our way home for autographs. I'm like, this guy, like, it's just, He can't get away from being Brady Quinn. And he's a great teammate. I'm actually so lucky to work with a guy like him. I know he comes on the show often, so I should have texted him for some insight.
He seems like he could be high maintenance, though. You know, hair, makeup.
Well, it's just one of those, like, when he looks better than me, that's just not a great sign for, like, a broadcast crew. I feel like I try to put myself together, and then I'm standing next to Brady Quinn, and, like, you do what you can.
Yeah, I know. It's not fair. That's why he's called Beef-O-Brady. Beef-O-Brady. good luck this weekend. We'll be watching. Thanks for joining
us. Thank
you. Congrats on your baby, too. Thank you, John.
Thank you.
Jenny Taft, she'll be on the sidelines there looking for Jim Harbaugh. It's Michigan and Maryland and then Ohio State and Michigan the following Saturday. It's a job that your job is to make it look easy, smooth, fluid, and it's not, because it can be choppy and chaotic and survival, especially when the fans storm the field and then you're just looking, you're looking, your camera person's there and you're just, there's this, sea of people. And you're trying to do your job. And the fans are running by and yelling and screaming. They want to be on camera. It's chaos. It's disorganized chaos. I was going to say organized chaos, but there's nothing organized about that. But to be able to ask the question, and you know, when you see that reporter and she has to or he has to run off the field with the coach because the coach won't even stop sometimes. And then you're like, I'm going to kind of slow down, ask your question. Hey, what changes are you going to have in the second half? Yeah, as if I'm going to tell you. Good luck, coach, in the second half. Yeah. Yeah, Marv.
I've worked a couple of NBA games where the national TV games where they have the post-quarter interviews, and you can see they're pre-taped before they come back from commercial break.
Yeah.
And so as soon as the horn sounds off at the end of the quarter, the coach, hey, Izzy, hey, George. Whoever it is,
yeah.
Right? And they do it, and then they are just so irritated. Like, so there's somebody from the PR department.
Yeah.
Hey, you got to do this.
Does anybody enjoy doing it?
Greg Popovich lets you know he hates it.
Oh, I know that. Yes, Todd.
Be professional. Don't be rude. They're doing their job. They're not coming up upon you and attacking you with a microphone. This is all planned ahead of time. It's all part of the broadcast rights. You know it's coming. Just deal with it. If you want to give a vague, bad answer, whatever, but you know a couple of questions are coming. Don't be nasty or rude and have one foot like out the door towards the locker room while you're talking to them.
Thank you, Tim.
I hate that.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, we needed that insight. Yes, Marv.
But in my situation, they weren't rude. They just kind of, and then they go over and they're really nice and cordial to the person interviewing them because that they're just doing their job. Popovich is a whole different animal, though.
Yeah, Paulie.
My favorite post-game interviews were always the NCAA tournament after the final team lost, and they interviewed Jay Wright, and Jay Wright's jumping around, he's got the net. And then they go, let's throw it to Bonnie Bernstein of CBS with Roy Williams. And all of a sudden, they drop the background sound. I know how they do this. They drop the background sound. It's an empty hallway, and there's Roy Williams and Bonnie Bernstein. Coach, and she has to do funeral voice. It's a totally different interview.
How do you feel, Coach? How do you think I feel? What did you say to your team?
Yeah, Coach.
Yeah. Are you going to North Carolina? Yeah. Yeah, Paul.
On the other hand, when I first started ESPN, I got to do a little field producing, and I saw Andrea Kramer. And Andrea Kramer, you guys all know her, right? She can't be more than 5'3". And there was a post game where she was going to get, I think it was like Bob Davie or someone from Notre Dame, and there's security, and there's people, and there's flushing. She went in there, and she was pushing people physically.
Oh, that she's gonna get her man.
She's getting her man.
She will get her man.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. She had a forearm out and the microphone in the other hand, and she went right into the pile and got arm around Bob David. Really impressive.
She is as determined as anybody I've ever met to get the story. Absolutely. Yes, Mark.
Is the Super Bowl the wildest post-game like thing you're a part of where people are physically pushing each other?
Well, that's different because there's a lot of different agendas going on at the end of the Super Bowl. And I only know where I was. I would be behind the goalpost and then waiting for the podium. I knew where the podium was going to be built, the platform, the stage. And then I would just wait. And it took about 5 minutes that they came out of nowhere, set it all up. And then all of a sudden you walk up there because they're going to commercial break. Next thing you know, somebody is carrying the Super Bowl trophy up. Commissioner's up there, owner's up there, quarterback's up there, coaches up there, maybe another player is up there. And that happens so quickly. But I know where I'm going, you know, my mark from A to B is probably 15 or 20 yards straight ahead. That's it. But trying to get everybody and get them up there, you know, they're out there hugging with family and friends. Even, you know, when you carry the trophy up, you got to have an opening for them to carry. Joe Namath was walking the trophy up, and the players kind of parted the sea and let Joe come up there, and they were touching the Super Bowl. It's so quick. It is chaos. And people yelling. I mean, you know, have Kevin Hart down there, you know, at the base of the steps yelling, I should be up there. I'm an Eagles fan. I'm a big Eagles fan. And I'm going, that sounds like Kevin Hart. Now, I'm getting ready to hand out the trophy, and I got Kevin Hart, like, I don't know, 20 feet away, yelling at security that he should be up there on the podium. And it's just wild. There's nothing like it. I mean, not many people get to experience that, but those who do know what I'm talking about, where you go, oh, my God. And you just want to get up there and not make a mistake. That's it. The one mistake I made was with Gronk when he was holding the trophy and I'm interviewing him. And I said, did you ever think that you would get this feeling again? He goes, this is my first Super Bowl. And then you go, ah, E-me. But it wasn't, it was more the team. Did you guys ever think you would get this feeling again? But Gronk goes, no, this is my first Super Bowl. And I'm like, all right, you got me. And then you got to just quickly rally and go, all right, Gronk, thank you. Julian Edelman, come on in here. Did you ever think that you would get this feeling again? No, we didn't.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Listen to Comeback Stories. I'm Darren Waller. You may know me best as a tight end for the New York Giants. You may also know me for my story of overcoming addiction and alcoholism. You may have heard a few of my tracks as an artist or a producer. And you may have seen the work that I've done through my foundation. And you may know my friend and co-host, Donnie Starkins, as well. He's a mindfulness teacher, a yoga instructor, a life coach, a man fully invested in seeing people reach their fullest potential. And we've come to form this platform of Comeback Stories to really highlight not only our own adversity, but adversity in the lives of well-known guests with amazing stories. Catch us every week on Comeback Stories on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, it's halftime, and the scoreboard's not looking good. You're feeling low. You're not sure you can pull out the win, but that's when you dig deep. Lift your head up and you say to yourself, time to get back in the game. Pull off some bank heists. Take as much of your friend's money as you possibly can.
See, and that's right. The smash hit mobile game Monopoly Go lets you compete with your friends to get the most riches and the biggest empire. It's the Monopoly you love, but on your phone, anytime, with tons of new twists, including leaderboards to compare your progress to your buddies. There's so much to do.
Yeah, you could play countless dynamic Monopoly boards. You can make your friends bankrupt by smashing their landmarks with a wrecking ball. That's new. I don't remember that from the old Monopoly game, but it sounds awesome. And you can charge players rent for your iconic properties. Great.
You can even work with your friends to crack open community chests and in tournaments to get extra rewards and climb the leaderboard. I'm in for sure.
So get out there, put on your game face, download Monopoly Go right now for free at the App Store or Google Play. Let's go.
If you do the quick math, the less your business spends on operations, on multiple systems, on delivering your products or service, the more margin you have and the more money you keep, which is obvious. But with higher expenses on materials, employees, distribution, and borrowing, everything costs more. So reduce your cost. Reduce the headaches. Smart businesses are graduating to NetSuite by Oracle. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move. So do the math and see how you'll profit with NetSuite. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial, management, inventory, HR onto one platform and one source of truth. With NetSuite, you reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud, so there's no hardware required, and you can access from anywhere. So you cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified business management suite. And you're improving efficiency by bringing all your major business processes onto one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. Right now, backed by popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. So head to netsuite.com/Patrick. netsuite.com/Patrick.
As you may have realized, I watch a lot of sports. Like, a lot. That's why I like Prime Video. It has all my live sports and docs in one app. Like Giannis, The Marvelous Journey, and the National Women's Soccer League, both included with Prime. Plus, you can buy Premier Boxing or stream the NHL and NBA playoffs on Max with the Bleacher Report Sports add-on, or add Paramount Plus for the Masters on CBS. All in one app with one password. Prime Video. It's all your favorite sports in one place. Restrictions apply. Prime membership required for add-on subscriptions. See Amazon.com/AmazonPrime for details.
Final hour in this Tuesday, Dan and the Danettes, Dan Patrick Show. Talk to Steve Tasker, former Buffalo Bill great. How's morale in Buffalo today? Also, Jay Billis will stop by as well. Got some college basketball coming up, some big matchups. We'll talk about that. Also, Spurs at the Thunder. It's Wemby versus Chet Holmgren. Timberwolves, the sneaky Timberwolves at the Warriors. That's the marquee games in the NBA. And some MAC football, some MACtion coming up. Jim Harbaugh talks at his press conference. Not sure if he's going to speak at the hearing coming up on Friday, but it's Michigan versus Maryland coming up on Saturday. Broncos over the Bills at the buzzer, 24-22. The Bills, 5-5. The Broncos at 4-5. Poll question for the final hour of the program is going to be what, Seton O'Connor?
Dan, Josh Allen is a top three NFL quarterback, or hurting his team as much as helping it. Right now, that's at 81% that he's hurting his team as much as helping it. And then are the Bills going to be in the Super Bowl or miss the playoffs? That's 95% miss the playoffs.
I'm looking at the draft order right now. Bears, that pick from the Panthers. Then it's the Giants, Cardinals, Patriots, Bears, Packers, Rams, Titans, Broncos, Falcons. Bears, yes. Giants, yes. Cardinals, maybe. Patriots, yes. Bears, no. Packers, probably not. Rams, yes. Titans, no. Broncos, probably no. Falcons, yes. Drafting a quarterback. Bears have two picks, and that probably, if they have that first pick, would use it on a quarterback, I'd think. The Giants, I'd certainly think long and hard about that. Kyler Murray is playing for his job, his future in Arizona, but does Arizona want Kyler Murray to be their quarterback in their future? And Kyler made some plays. He had a nice little scramble for 33 yards, but he's hurting the draft status. The Patriots, they will move on. The Packers, do you give Jordan Love another year? Let me see what happens the rest of this season. The Rams, yes. I mean, they with Stafford there, but how much longer? Yet Stetson Bennett, who was on the roster. The Titans, you have three quarterbacks, and even though Will Levis, he looked great, then he looked okay, and then he looked average, but this is what happens. Teams get a large enough sample size on Will Levis, and now you start to plan defensively, and that's what happened, I think, these last two games. The Broncos, do you take a quarterback if you're inside the top 10? I'm gonna say probably not. Falcons at 10, what are you going to get? Who are you going to get? And do you want to get the fourth best quarterback at number 10, or do you want to get maybe the first best player at another position? You know, that's always the dilemma. It's like you got to get a quarterback. No, you have to get your quarterback. And I think that's the key sometimes when you draft. You're like, hey, we got to get our quarterback. No, get your quarterback. There's a big difference in that. All right, 877-3DP-SHOW, email address dp@danpatrick.com. Say good morning if you're watching on Peacock. Thank you. Downloading that app and our radio affiliates around the country. He went to 7 Pro Bowls, 5-time first-team All-Pro. He is the former CBS sports analyst and reporter. He co-hosts One Bills Live. That airs weekdays from 1 to 3, and he also handles post-game duties for the team. What was it like, Steve, post-game in the locker room for the Bills?
I'm thinking it's pretty excruciating, yeah. This is a game that, you know, you got to feel like for your build that you absolutely gift wrapped and tied a bow on for the Broncos to give away a game like that, particularly at the end where not only have you played and turned the ball over, you're minus three on the turnovers in the first half alone. You're still only trailing by a touchdown. Come back, finally give yourself a lead with 2 minutes to go with a defense that has been played really well, even though they were been depleted. And then to have them miss a field goal to win it, only to have 12 men on the field. I think it's excruciating and embarrassing a little bit. It's definitely a dark Tuesday in Buffalo after a Monday night game. No question about it.
Okay, can you pinpoint what's the problem?
Yeah, no, I can't. There have been a couple of weeks that there was a stretch early in the first month of the season where this team was lights out, you know, hanging 37 on the Raiders, 38 on Washington, and then hanging 48 on a Dolphins team that was 3-1 coming in. You know, I mean, they really seemed like they had it. Now, all of a sudden, you're right. The problem seems to be a little bit esoteric. You know, maybe it's one, maybe it's a combination of things, maybe it's something different every week, but obviously something's wrong with the recipe. Whatever the ingredients are, you got too much of this and too little of that. It seems like they've got the recipes in the cupboard somewhere and they just can't figure out the mix. Josh Allen seems to be regressing to where he was 2018, turning it over too much.
Yeah.
And one thing that's been disconcerting is they come out of these games and they're turning it over, I mean, right away. I mean, right out of the gate. In three games this year, they've turned it over on the first series. A couple of games on the first offensive play. So, obviously, that is not a recipe for success. But I think if you're gonna put it at the feet of one thing, it's been the turnovers more than anything.
I made this comparison earlier in the show. You played in the Brett Favre era. I do see some Brett Favre, Josh Allen similarities there. Wanting to make the play. Brett was a gunslinger. I don't know if Josh is labeled a gunslinger, but, you know, always willing to try to make the big play, sometime to the detriment of their team. Is that a fair comparison?
Oh, I think so. I think Josh has been labeled, even by some of the people that have played in post-game comments, teams have said, yeah, we see a lot of arm arrogance in Josh Allen. You know, we know he's going to try and make a throw nobody else is going to try and make. And let's face it, I mean, it's awesome when he does it and pulls it off. And he does it once or twice a game, in almost every game. But lately, he's been trying a little too much and been trying, you know, some of the same shots, the deep throw to the sideline on a hole shot on a cover two. He tries that and he'll hit it more than anybody, but he throws more interceptions there than anybody because that underneath receiver, the underneath defensive back sloughs off and gets back into the throwing lane a little faster than Josh anticipates. We've seen some outstanding catches made in that spot. We've seen multiple interceptions being thrown there. So teams are starting to get a handle that Josh is going to try and throw it if you can get in there. So, a little bit of that, and then we've also got places where early in games Josh will throw it to a guy and he'll put some heat on it to get into a tight window, and it turns into a volleyball match. The guy comes off the guy's hands and it turns into an interception. We saw that last night with Gabe Davis on the second series of the game. So, you know, you come out of the gate, turn it over twice in a game against the Denver Broncos, all of a sudden they're way in it in a game where maybe otherwise they might be a little overmatched, and they end up pulling it out at the end.
You know, we're talking to Steve Tasker, former Buffalo Bills All-Pro. Give me best-case scenario for this team. Realistic best-case scenario the rest of the season.
They got to go – I mean, realistically, they got to go – I'm thinking 5-2 down the stretch of the last eight games. And they've got the Chiefs, the Eagles, the Cowboys, the Chargers, the Jets, Patriots, and Dolphins. They got a first-place schedule. And now they've done, you know, the first, you know, Dan, when you find yourself in a hole, the first thing you got to do is stop digging. You know, they haven't done that yet.
Yeah.
So
wow.
They got to go, you know, 6-2, maybe 5-3 over the last eight games they got left, or last seven games they got left, 5-2, to have a shot to really get in. Now, if they beat the Patriots, Dolphins, and Jets, they got a shot at the division title if they can win a couple of those other games. But the best case scenario is if they find some way to claw and kick and scratch to get in, even as a seventh wild card, there's enough horses in the room to make a run like they did in weeks 2, 3, and 4. They should get Von Miller healthier and healthier and healthier. There's a chance Daquan Jones could get back on the field. There's a chance they'll get healthier and they'll have guys like Rasul Douglas get more acclimated into the equation, be a CB1 or CB2 here. So they got a chance to get back healthier. Micah Hyde could get back on the field. So they got a chance to get healthier down the stretch, and they do have the ingredients in the cupboard, I think, to put a run together, no question. But that now the question isn't how are they going to look when they get to the playoffs? Can they get over that hump? The question is, can they get there? And then when they do, find what they were so good at in the first month of the season. It's a tall order. You know, it's a long season, but they got to find a way to get in and then put a run together. That's best case scenario. They got to go 5-2 down those last 7 games with a gauntlet of a schedule.
If the Bills don't make the playoffs.
Yeah, if they don't make the playoffs, and it's interesting, it's hard to, and I know this too, it's hard to defend, you know, what's going on, even with the coaching staff and the players after a game like last night. But this is still a team that's really difficult to beat. The times you see them lose games are through ways that are unsustainable. You don't get a missed field goal and 12 men on the field to beat this, you know, without beating this team. Last year, the same thing with the Minnesota loss last year. They had 3 game stoppers, and all 3 of them go catastrophically against the Bills. The narrative around Buffalo now is they're looking back. There's a 13-second game, that game. There's a Hail Mary. There's the Minnesota game, as I mentioned, the overtime game in Tampa Bay. All these losses are all by single digits. They're through some quirky, weird circumstance that somehow the team pulls out a victory. And that's the personality of the Bills' losses. Their wins are convincing, and they have the horses. But if you don't go to the playoffs this year and you look at how they've lost, it does seem to be something in that recipe that is not allowing them to get over the hump. You know, you got names like now Marty Schottenheimer and Marvin Lewis being compared to Sean McDermott as a guy who builds a great culture, great system, but they're not good enough to get over the top. Tony Dungy, the same thing when he was in Tampa Bay before he got to Indianapolis. You know, there's been other coaches like that. Andy Reid, same thing. He was in Philly, could never get over the hump. He was a great, good coach, never a great coach. Well, now we've seen him take that next step. That's where Sean McDermott and this staff seem to be, on the cusp of being good enough to put together a really competitive team, but something's missing when they get to the pinnacle.
Great to talk to you again, Steve. Thanks for joining us.
Great seeing you, Dan. Thanks for having me on.
Steve Tasker, 5-time first-team All-Pro, special teams, 7-time Pro Bowl selection, and works for the Buffalo Bills. A couple of phone calls in here. Tom in North Carolina. Hi, Tom. What do you have for me today?
Hey, DP.
Hey, bud.
Yeah, real quick, I didn't get a chance to call yesterday. I want to shout out to the NC State girls basketball, beating number 2 UConn. Also doing a little bit of a deep dive, bringing out the NFL conspiracies, looking at the different covers of the Madden football game.
Mm-hmm.
And just so happens, Josh Allen is on the cover this year.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Thank you, Tom. Used to be the Sports Illustrated cover jinx, but Sports Illustrated isn't, you know, prominent anymore. But Madden, on the cover of Madden, and usually it doesn't go well for that person. Petey in Georgia. Hi, Petey. What's on your mind today?
What's going on, Dan? You doing all right?
Hi, Pete.
I like to make a No Meat Friday tattoo bet with Mr. Pabst.
Well, Paulie's not going to get a tattoo.
Nah, just a No Meat Friday.
Oh, him. So Paulie doesn't get a Meat Friday, and if he wins, then you get a tattoo.
That's right.
Okay. Correct. All right, what's the bet?
Falcons against the Bears. 31st at the Bears, I believe.
Okay. Paulie, do you want a piece of the Falcons and the Bears, and then you lose out on a Meat Friday? And if Petey happens to lose, you get a tattoo of what?
The Chicago C.
Okay, so he'll get a Chicago Bear.
Is this game in a couple weeks?
It's December 31st, I believe.
Oh, jeez. Wow.
The only reason I'm calling this far ahead is because I really can't call in when I'm at work. So.
Oh.
Respect.
Okay. Paulie, are you open to maybe losing out on a Meat Friday if the Falcons beat the Bears in Chicago at the end of the year?
Risking meat is not really in my vocabulary. You know me. I'd probably rather get a tattoo. Can I ask you, do you have any tattoos already? Do you have a bunch of them?
I got three, so blank page almost.
All right. I would do it for a Walter Payton tattoo. 34, just a 34 in Bears colors, dark blue and orange.
Sick. All right, I know how much Walter means to you, so yeah, we'll do that.
Beautiful. I would give up meat to spread the word about the greatness of Walter Payton. That one of the few things.
Thank you, Petey. Okay.
There you go.
All right, so you may lose out on a Meat Friday, but you could get a Walter Payton tattoo.
Yeah.
Gibbs in Virginia Beach. Hi, Gibbs. What's on your mind today?
Hey, Dano.
Hey,
best scripted show on radio.
Thank you. Thank you.
Not exactly Atticus Finch checking in, but I'm here to settle the AI-MJ debate for Lucky Luciano in Brooklyn. What up to the shop? I told Marvin this many times when he was TTM in the back taking calls. As a native 757 guy, we have a plethora of notable guys from the area. Bruce Smith, Cam Chancellor, Percy Plax. I could go on and on. But I actually went to the university with best-looking uniforms on the field and on the court. Shout out to Julian's on Franklin. I would never disrespect Jeffrey in any way, but Bubba Chuck had more cultural orbit than anyone ever, maybe save for MV7, and he's also a 757 guy. But Chuck's background set him apart. He missed his entire senior season after winning the state title in football and basketball, sitting in Hampton Roads jail. I don't think there's anyone that can compare. And Kobe Bryant said it best. We should all be grateful AI wasn't 6'5".
All right. Thank you, Gibbs. Yeah, Bubba Chuck is AI's nickname. Yeah, you wonder if John Thompson didn't come to rescue Allen Iverson when he was in jail, where he would be.
But where Seton Hall would probably be as a school bus. Somehow John Thompson did it again.
You're not bitter, are you?
It was like Patrick Ewing. What the hell? Dikembe Mutombo. Like all of these. Alonzo Mourning? What is it? Allen Iverson? Where the hell are all these guys coming from? It was just one after the. As soon as one graduated, another one came in that was just as good or better. You're like, holy crap.
I remember standing next to Iverson, standing next to Steve Nash, standing next to Nate Archibald. And you go, so I'm taller than all of those guys, but you're going, how do these guys do it? Because Iverson just kept coming at you. He was relentless. Archibald kept coming at you, relentless. And Nash had this ability to understand spacing as well as anybody who's ever played the game. Angles, understand. You know, he couldn't jump. He wasn't quick, but he was an unbelievable shooter. He might have been, was he the first 90, 50, 40 in the NBA?
I think that was Larry Joe Bird.
Was Larry 40 from... Oh, okay. He wasn't shooting as many right. as the... Okay. So 90 from the line, 50 from the field, 40 from three-point range. But I think Nash might have done that a couple of times. Not many guys are told by their coach to shoot more. And Steve Nash was told, you got to shoot more. Yes, Marv.
He was winning the MVP award, averaging about 17 a night.
That was a fun team to watch.
Yeah, it was.
He should have won one MVP, not two. Because the other one was Shaq.
Yes.
No, it was. It was. But Nash earned the other one. He was a fun player. All right, we'll take a break. Jay Billis will join us. He's a lawyer, so I'm going to ask Billis to represent Michigan and Jim Harbaugh and represent the Big Ten in this situation. We'll talk to Jay coming up right after this.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Dan Patrick Show weekdays at 9 a.m. Eastern, 6 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Well, it's halftime and the scoreboard's not looking good. You're feeling low. You're not sure you can pull out the win. But that's when you dig deep. Lift your head up and you say to yourself, time to get back in the game. Pull off some bank heists. Take as much of your friend's money as you possibly can.
See, and that's right. The smash hit mobile game Monopoly Go lets you compete with your friends to get the most riches and the biggest empire. It's the Monopoly you love, but on your phone, anytime, with tons of new twists, including leaderboards to compare your progress to your buddies. There's so much to do.
Yeah, you could play countless dynamic Monopoly boards. You can make your friends bankrupt by smashing their landmarks with a wrecking ball. That's new. I don't remember that from the old Monopoly game, but it sounds awesome. And you can charge players rent for your iconic properties. Great.
You can even work with your friends to crack open community chests and in tournaments to get extra rewards and climb the leaderboard. I'm in for sure.
So get out there, put on your game face, download Monopoly Go right now for free at the App Store or Google Play. Let's go.
As you may have realized, I watch a lot of sports, like a lot. That's why I like Prime Video. It has all my live sports and docs in one app, like Giannis, The Marvelous Journey, and the National Women's Soccer League, both included with Prime. Plus, you can buy Premier Boxing or stream the NHL and NBA playoffs on Max with the Bleacher Report sports add-on, or add Paramount Plus for the Masters on CBS. All in one app with one password. Prime Video. It's all your favorite sports in one place. Restrictions apply. Prime membership required for add-on subscriptions. See Amazon.com/Amazon Prime for details.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise, set several generations after the last installment, in which apes are the dominant species. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape will fight for the future of apes and humans alike and embark on a journey that will redefine the planet. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and in theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
More phone calls coming up. This just in, Buffalo Bills have fired their offensive coordinator, Ken Dorsey. Steve Tasker, who just joined us, sent us a text saying that this was going to happen, and it did just a couple of minutes ago. So, Buffalo Bills, I don't know. Now, let's say they don't have 12 guys on the field. Let's say they win that game without, you know, with that missed field goal. Is the offensive coordinator fired after that win? Because it's still the same performance after the offense, but they lose, and they had 12 men on the field. They got another chance for a field goal. They made the kick, and Denver wins it. But I'm curious, if Buffalo had won that game by the narrowest of margins, would their offensive coordinator have been fired? He's Jay Billis. The 13th annual State Farm Champions Classic returns tonight. It's Duke, Michigan State, and then it'll be Kansas and Kentucky. That'll be at the United Center in Chicago, and Jay will be working with Dan Schulman and Holly Rowe. Good to see you. Before I get to basketball, you being a lawyer, I want you to represent Michigan and Jim Harbaugh in this situation that's going on with the Big Ten.
It's primarily, Dan, a due process argument. I don't think they're going to get to the merits of what happened and exactly what evidence the Big Ten may have. It's a question of, did the Big Ten follow its rules, and did Michigan get due process of a hearing and to present their evidence before a punishment was handed down? I haven't read the Big Ten bylaws. I don't know what their sportsmanship, you know, this is all under the aegis or the umbrella of sportsmanship policy. I don't know what it says, but I think it's a little bit of an uphill climb for Michigan here, and I think the Big Ten is probably going to wind up having the authority to ultimately do what it did.
Is there cheating in basketball? I mean, this is sign stealing. I don't know. And we had the Astros in baseball. Is there anything that is still nefarious with college basketball, given that you have NIL, transfer portal?
Not that I'm aware of. I mean, there's always been, you know, players being paid and all that stuff that's sort of outside the rule book. And nobody even knows what the rule book is right now with NIL. The players are not supposed to be paid for play. But that everybody who had any brain in their head knew that's what NIL was going to be. But I don't know of any, you know, there's no in-person scouting for basketball. I know there's a lot of information sharing. So if, you know, if I've got a friend, say I'm on the staff at Dayton and we're playing, you know, George Washington, and I've got a friend on another staff who just played George Washington, I know there's sharing of scouting reports, but I don't think that there's anything nefarious about that. I think the problem for Michigan here was the violation of the in-person scouting rule. And, you know, it used to be in basketball, football, you could go to opponents' games and have advanced scouting in person. But they got rid of that, I think, more for cost than anything.
All right. What should we be looking for tonight with this doubleheader?
You know, four of the preseason best teams in the country, I think the lowest rated team was 16th, and that's Kentucky. You know, in the first game, Michigan State has not played well. And they're a veteran team that went to the Sweet 16 last year, and they've got four out of their five starters back. The only one gone is Joey Hauser. And I think they're like 2 of 31 in their first two games from three. They've been out-rebounded. They have not looked the part of a Michigan State team. I tend to think that that's going to change tonight, and it better. You know, Duke just came off a loss against Arizona in a heavyweight fight in Cameron Indoor Stadium. It was so great to see that kind of game this early in the season. And you can tell that Tommy Lloyd of Arizona and John Shire of Duke, you know, want to play those type of games and test their teams. And Duke's got some adjustments to make. They got out-rebounded badly against Arizona. And Arizona kind of exposed that, that you know, shot makers at the four position, you know, they can lay off the four-man and clog the lane. So Duke's going to have to adjust to that.
Best pro prospect in the building tonight will be who?
You know, I think there are about 15 guys off these four rosters that are going to play in the NBA. I think Jonathan Givony projected 7 are going to be taken in the first round this year in the draft if they were to come out. It's probably between, I'd say, Justin Edwards at Kentucky, the freshman, or the sophomore Kyle Filipowski at Duke. They're you know, they're very different players, but Kentucky's got kind of a, I don't want to say old school, but it's John Calipari going back to, hey, we're getting the best freshmen, and we're gonna develop talent, and at the end of the year we're gonna be really good, but we're gonna be really young at the beginning and bring them along. He did the transfer thing the last couple of years, and it didn't work out quite the way. They weren't as talented but older, and I think he's gone back to the I want super talent, and they've got super talent this year.
The three-point shot and how important it is, these coaches, when they go out recruiting, like, how important is it that they're looking for that three-point shooter? And like, where is that at the priority list of bringing in these players?
It's pretty high. It's not quite NBA high because I think, you know, you've noticed this because you know basketball so well, but there are so many low-post big guys in the country right now that are among the best players. They're not as coveted in the NBA, so they're staying in school longer, whether it's Zach Edey, Ryan Kalkbrenner at Creighton, you know, you name Hunter Dickinson at Kansas, you name it. And years ago, those guys would have all been gone, but now they're coming back. One, they can make a lot of money in college, but they're not first-round draft picks like they've been in the past. I think if you can stretch it, you're way more valuable, but you know, you still need rim protection. And that's one thing. Kentucky has it, but their rim protectors are hurt right now. So they're playing kind of a smaller lineup, 5 out. And I think that will change when their big guys come back.
He's Jay Billis. He'll be on the call with Dan Schulman and Holly Rowe tonight. It's a doubleheader on the mothership, Duke, Michigan State, followed by Kentucky and Kansas. When we look back on Loyola Marymount, were they ahead of everybody with what is today's, like, was it a different style with, you know, we're going to take the three, we're going to give you the two, and we're just going to run you all night long?
A little bit, yeah. Paul Westhead, who I had a kind of a connection to, I went to high school with his daughters, Monica and Patrice, at Rolling Hills High School in California. And I also played with Jack McKinney's son, John, when he fell off the bike and all that stuff happened with the Showtime Lakers right around 1980, 81, give or take, when I was a sophomore and junior in high school. And I think when Westhead got kind of bounced around a little bit, you know, it seemed like he said, okay, you want me to play fast? I want to play fast. And I remember looking at, I was an grad assistant at Duke at the time. And I remember looking at like press guys of opponents, and everybody had their career high against Loyola Marymount. Everybody. If they played them, that was every player's career high because the scores were up in the 120s and sometimes 130. But yeah, they ran and, you know, defense was not at a premium. Even though like Westhead grew up in the Philly kind of LaSalle St. Joe's tree, where that's not the way they played. But yeah, I think they were a little bit ahead of their time. But I think you can balance it and run, get easy baskets, quick threes. I mean, you'd rather have a three in transition than work 20 seconds to get one where it's going to be more contested. It's not always true, but that's that. I think back then, Dan, we didn't understand, because a three came into college in 87, and we didn't understand the asymmetrical threat it was. Remember back then when Pitino was at Providence, and everybody's like, oh, my God, look at all the threes they're shooting. What, they shoot 12 a game? You know, now you shoot 12 in the first 10 minutes.
Yeah.
And it's a totally different game now. But it's opened things up, and it's a little bit more exciting game. But I'll tell you what, like the people our age that are going, geez, these big guys, they don't know how to play. Like, they're having to guard ball screens and recover, and they're guarding multiple actions, and you worry when they pick up a foul. Holy cow. Like, my biggest task was I had to meet my assignment at the free throw line and fight him for low post position. That was the end of it. I never guarded a ball screen in college.
But I go back to that Pitino Providence team with Billy Donovan. I mean, that wasn't a great team as much as it was. It felt like it was a system. Like, he had a system before. Nolan Richardson had a system, but, you know, that was defense. But here was Pitino. I mean, he was so far ahead of his time with utilizing the three-point shot as a weapon.
He always has been in everything. He's probably, along with Bob Knight, maybe the best teacher of the game I've come across. But, you know, he's going to look to what's his advantage. I mean, a lot of, you know, Dan, you've seen this as much as I have. A lot of coaches will talk about how they want to play, and maybe not enough think about how we're going to win. Doesn't matter how I want to play. How are we going to win with the personnel we have? And Pitino's always been at the forefront of how we're going to win.
When you see Zion Williamson now, what goes through your mind?
Same thing that went through my mind the first time I saw him, is that there's never been anybody like this on a basketball floor. And the only thing that's kept him from being the player among the players in the league has been injury. And when he's healthy, his numbers are ridiculous. His efficiency is a joke, and he's freaking unstoppable. And, you know, the only other player I remember saying that about, that I've never seen anything like this on a basketball floor, is Victor Wembanyama, because at 7'4", he's doing things that nobody's ever done at that size. And I'm not surprised he's – maybe a little bit surprised he's having that much success this early, but I'm not surprised he's having success. You knew if he stayed healthy, he was going to come. But this early, it's been pretty remarkable, I think.
And you, of course, were a lockdown defender in college. How would you guard Victor Wembanyama?
I would start screaming for help. And
as soon as you got to the arena?
Yeah, I don't think I'd be in the game very long if I were. But that's kind of the thing. I mean,
wait a minute. You played against Samson, though, didn't you?
Well, I was in the game when Samson was there. That was my first ACC game. It was we played number one Virginia. It was like late December or early December in 1983. And I did a great defensive job on Samson. I held him to 36 points.
Okay.
And it was remarkable. And I felt really bad about that. I thought, I need to find something else to do. And then 2 weeks later, he had 40 against Ohio State. He was guarded by Clark Kellogg and Herb Williams. And I thought, well, maybe I don't suck as much as I thought. They had 200 players on him, and he had 40.
Are you at Duke's practice now?
Yeah, they're finishing up their shoot-around. Then Michigan State comes in, like Kansas and Kentucky.
You're not going to get – if Coach K was coaching Duke right now, would he have a problem with you being – on a Zoom call?
No, he wouldn't have had a problem. Coach K treated me as a broadcaster much like as a player. He didn't notice me when I was in the gym.
I said this when Coach Knight died, that you did me a favor when you talked to him one time, and he wanted to know if anybody, I'm paraphrasing, anybody at SportsCenter knew basketball, and you mentioned that I did, and it changed my relationship with him. Up until the very end, I was in contact with somebody who was close to him. But I wanted to thank you again for saying that, because A, you were correct that I did know basketball. But, you know, he accepted me because of you kind of validating that. So I appreciate that.
Well, he accepted you because of you, not anything I said. I mean, it was just a discussion. He didn't find too many people at that time at the company that he trusted, and on the basketball side. And I tried to talk him out of it, that there were, and you know, you were the one. But it was not just basketball knowledge, Dan. I don't mean to blow smoke at you, but it was because of how trustworthy you are. And so I'm not surprised you two had a good relationship.
Have fun. Thanks for joining us. My best to Holly and Dan, and we'll be watching tonight.
Always, brother. Thank you for having me.
That's Jay Billis. He'll be on the call tonight. So it's a doubleheader. It's Duke and Michigan State. That's 7 Eastern on the mothership, followed by Kentucky and number one Kansas. That's the United Center in Chicago. Let me see if I can squeeze in a phone call here. Barry in New Mexico. Good morning, Barry. What's on your mind today?
Good morning, fellas. Good morning, chat row. Dan, I've been a faithful listener. Hopefully, I've given you a few yucks over the years. Can you please, please, please stop playing the Robert Saleh press conferences? I mean, I have two eyes. I was at the game on Sunday. They're not changing the quarterback. They're not changing the play calling. Enough already. Sheesh.
All right. Will do, Barry. Actually, I won't. I'll continue to play Robert Saleh. And let the beard go gray if it goes gray. That's my advice. You don't want to do what Ryan Day did. Now you have to maintain it all the time. You wake up every morning, and that's the first thing you're going to do. So how's my beard look? Is there any gray in there? Let it go. David in Texas. Hi, David. What's on your mind today?
Hey, Dan.
Hey, Dave.
6'2", 225. Thanks for taking my call. Hey, I got a new slogan for Crappensburg State.
Okay.
Are you ready?
Yes.
Crappensburg State, just go.
Okay.
All right, David.
Thank you, David. Just do it.
Just go.
Yeah. By the way, I'm looking at the 90-50-40 guys. Larry Bird did it 86 and 87. Mark Price, Reggie Miller, Steve Kerr, Steve Nash, Dirk Nowitzki. Here's one for you. Jose Calderon.
No way.
Of course.
Then it was Steve Nash, Steve Nash, Steve Nash, Kevin Durant, Steph Curry. That's the list of those who have gone 90 from the line, 50 from the floor, and 40 from three-point range.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Get in zone, AutoZone.
Welcome to AutoZone. What are you working on today?
My car really needs a wash.
The $20 Meguiar's bundle includes Gold Class car wash for a showroom shine.
Get in zone.
And what about my tires?
Just spray the included Hot Shine tire coating and you're all set.
Get in zone.
The inside is not great.
No problem. The quick interior detailer in the bundle can help with that too.
Get in zone. AutoZone.
Restrictions apply.